Let the speech of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be for good pleasure in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. For the sake of counting our days, make known what is right, that we may put on a heart of wisdom. Psalm 90 is familiar to many people because it is often read at memorial services. Some people feel that death and eternal life is a gloomy subject to be avoided if you want to have a good time. But life after death should not be an unpleasant subject for Christians, especially new church people. The reality of life after death is the most important fact of our lives, next to the existence of the Lord himself. It should be the greatest source of hope to us, both when things are going well for us and in the hard times of our lives. The Lord attaches eternal value and meaning to our everyday activities. This beautiful psalm shows that the Lord is preparing us for eternal life right from the beginning. Next, it deals with the obstacles that need to be overcome. And finally, it is a prayer that through victory in life's temptations, we may let the Lord set our lives in order, so that we may put on a heart of wisdom and our life may bear fruit to eternity in his mercy. Psalm 90 begins with the comforting words, "Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place for generation and generation. Before the mountains were born, and thou hadst formed the earth and the world, and from eternity to eternity, thou art God." Our dwelling place in generation and generation, from eternity to eternity, is heaven. We are all created to go to heaven, to live with the Lord. The heavenly state is the fulfillment of every heart's desires. Heaven consists especially in the peaceful satisfaction of a life of uses, served in mutual love with our friends, and in love truly conjugal, into which are gathered all joys and all delights from first to last, which can ever be conferred on mankind by God the Creator. Not one speck of this wonderful life comes from us. It is all a free gift from the Lord, as much as we are willing to receive. He lays the foundations for our eternal life while we are tiny infants, unable to choose for ourselves. At that time, he is bringing forth the spiritual mountains within us, high, pure states, close to himself, close to heaven. The Lord forms the spiritual earth and the world in us, organizing our minds so that we can learn all kinds of things. He gives us principles, ideals, willpower, spiritual intelligence, everything we need to have a happy, useful life. We enjoy these gifts completely as if they were our own, as though they were ourselves, and yet they are the Lord's with us. Truly, the Lord himself is our dwelling place, both in the generation of our natural life and in our regeneration to eternal life. But we are not inclined to live in the kind of home the Lord would provide. Instead, we have an instinctive, inherited lust for power and wealth. These instincts are the obstacles to eternal life. If we allow these things to distract us from following the Lord, we are heading for destruction. So the psalm says, "Thou turnest man back to contrition, and sayest, Turn back, O sons of man. For 1,000 years in thine eyes are as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou didst pour down upon them, they are sleep. In the morning they are as grass, which passes away. In the morning it flowers and changes. Toward the evening it is cut back and dries up." The Lord calls us to turn back from selfishness and worldliness. If we are willing, he inspires contrition or regret for some of our behavior. He says to us, turn back from the short-term goals we set for ourselves, such as possessions, advancement, and status, not for the sake of use, but just for the sake of our own enjoyment. These things are like the grass that grows in the morning and is cut down at night. Even a 1,000-year empire is nothing compared to eternity. Great civilizations, arts, culture, and military power are quickly swept away in the flood of years. No merely human endeavor or accomplishment lasts. Only what is the Lord's endures. People who dwell on such things are asleep as to what is real and lasting. The psalm then describes how it feels if we have turned against the Lord in verses 7 to 9. For we are all consumed in thine anger, and in thy fury we are troubled. Thou hast put our iniquities in front of thee, our hidden things to the light of thy face. For all our days are swept away in thy wrath. We consume all our years moaning. Now, the anger of God means the misery that is intrinsic in all evil or selfishness. His fury means the frustration involved with false goals and attitudes. In the other world, secret sins are quickly exposed. Evil spirits can't get away with anything. In the end, they become resigned to compliance with God's order, though they resent it. They consume all their years moaning and complaining. This is the alternative to the dwelling place the Lord wants to make for us. It is our free choice, but the Lord urgently wants to help us. The key to the Lord's dwelling place is for us to subordinate selfish and worldly pleasures to the eternal uses he provides for us. This is how the Lord attaches eternal meaning to our lives. The Lord certainly does not want us to withdraw from the world, nor to give up its pleasures. He just wants us to look at the things of this world in the eternal perspective and keep them in their proper place. For example, he commands us to love our neighbors, not more than ourselves, just as ourselves. As we learn to love providing useful services to our neighbors, the Lord brings eternal meaning and value to our short-term human activities. In fact, the Lord's divine providence is described as the conjunction or joining together of temporary and eternal things. It's a beautiful, merciful concept, the conjunction of temporary and eternal things. How does the Lord do this? If we look to the Lord and shun evils in our work as sins against him, the Lord gradually leads us to love the uses of our work more than the external rewards. For example, he can lead a businessman to love money not for its own sake, but for the sake of increasing the business's service to his customers. A farmer can love his work because providing good food is the foundation for every other use. And he sees more clearly than most people that a good crop depends on the dispensations of providence. The Lord can bring such eternal perspectives to every kind of useful work. The Lord also joins eternal things to our temporary outlook as married partners. Men especially begin with a general love of the opposite sex that shops around. The Lord makes use of this initial interest to lead us toward marriage. He gradually raises our mind to a devotion to only one. He leads us to look beyond a focus on looks, appealing manners, and other external things to a joining of minds in which each finds delight in doing what pleases the other. Finally, he brings us to a union of souls with our partner, in which two people believe the same things and love the same uses. And so they look to the Lord as one angel. The Lord accomplishes this miracle little by little in all the chores and challenges of life together. We let eternal things rule when we let the Lord set our priorities. This is what the psalm means by the prayer that the Lord may count our days and make known to us what is right, so that we may put on a heart of wisdom. Counting our days does not mean simply realizing how short life in this world is. Counting or numbering our days also involves taking an honest look at the quality of our daily states and activities, what we are thinking, what our goals are, what feelings arise with us, how we act, and so on. We pray that by the Lord's guidance and strength, our days may count or make a difference for ourselves and for others. The idea of counting is like a military commander preparing for war, assessing his strength and arranging his units most effectively. We need to marshal the forces of our will and our understanding and plan effective strategies to overcome our weaknesses in following the Lord as of ourselves. Numbers in the word stand for qualities, like 7 for holiness, 3 for completeness. To number something means to give it a certain quality. Only the Lord can number our days so that we do what is right from a wise heart. If we allow the Lord to set our lives in order by keeping his commandments, he will be able to bring our lives to fulfillment. We read in verse 10, "The days of our years have in them 70 years, and if with might, 80 years. But their pride is labor and sorrow, and it is hurriedly shorn off, and we fly away." 70 represents fullness of life and the holiness of the heavenly state when there is rest from temptations and conjunction with the Lord. 80 means the same as 40, namely temptations with their labor and sorrow. But through temptations, a person is strengthened in his desire for eternal life and his determination to follow the Lord. So 80 also means a full marriage of a good heart with a true understanding, because 8 is a multiple of 2, which stands for goodness and truth together. 8 further points to a new beginning, as the 8th day is the beginning of a new week. Through the labor and sorrow of temptations, pride in our own ability to work things out is broken down, preparing the way for innocence and wisdom in old age. In this state, we are ready to dwell with the Lord in heaven. So the psalm concludes with this prayer, starting at verse 14, "Satisfy us in the morning with thy mercy, that we may sing aloud and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days in which thou hast afflicted us, according to the years in which we have seen evil. Let thy work be seen by thy servants, and thine honor upon their sons. And let the pleasantness of Yehovah our God be upon us, and the deeds of our hands establish upon us, and the deeds of our hands establish them." Out of the years of affliction in which we were learning self-discipline, the Lord brings gladness. He leads us to love the heavenly life, so that it is no longer a matter of driving ourselves, but a joy. We see something of the pleasantness of the Lord God in the uses and the people we love. When we reflect on the good work someone has done in his or her life, in spite of human failings, the Lord's work and his honor appears to us in them. We see, for example, how parents' example in marriage can become a blessing to their children and their children's children. even though human institutions in this world pass away with time, still the Lord establishes the deeds of our hands and makes them lasting in the good things he accomplishes for us and for others that continue into eternal life. We feel deeply responsible for our children's lives and for the future of the church and the school and for other uses we love. And the Lord gives us significant opportunities to care for others, and we want to make them count. And yet, he himself is the only one who actually provides for everyone through all our efforts in all generations. So, let's not worry too much about the mistakes of the past or the uncertain future, but let them rest in his hands. Instead, let our prayer be that we may daily shun evils as sins against him, so that he may teach and lead us day by day to set eternal things above temporary things. And then, even the passing things of this world may serve the Lord's eternal kingdom. In the words of the psalm, we may pray, "For the sake of counting our days, make known what is right, that we may put on a heart of wisdom." Amen. Now to the one only God, Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.